بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. May Allah salam and salam be upon the Prophet and the believers of his noble family and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. قال الله عز وجل وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى. And remember when you said, O Musa, O Moses, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ, we shall never believe in you, حتى نرى الله جهرة, until we see Allah plainly. فأخذتكم الصاعقة, but you were seized with a thunderbolt while you were looking. Here again, still the address is concerning the children of Israel. And it means, and remember also, O children of Israel, when you said. And the address in this regard is to those who were present at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. However, Allah's favor on the early part of this ummah is a favor on its latter part. So therefore it is correct to consider the address to the latter one, although the favor was for or upon the preceding ones. So, O Musa, we shall never believe in you. We will not submit. We will not believe. We will not confess to that which you brought. Until, حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا, until we see Allah plainly, meaning we see Him with our sight. The scholars differed as to when this took place. They differed on two sayings. First saying, that Musa alayhi salam chose 70 people, 70 men from his people to meet Allah, and he took them with him. And when he started talking to Allah and Allah speaking to him, they said this verse which we are talking about, they said, we shall never believe in you. They said, we shall never believe in you until we see Allah plainly. So therefore what occurred to them, the seas with the thunderbolt, took place when Musa went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first saying. The second saying is, when Musa, that this took place after Musa returned from the meeting with his Lord, and Allah sent down the Torah upon him. And when he brought the Torah, they said, this is not from Allah. This Torah is not from Allah. Thus, we will not believe in you till we see Allah plainly. And the context and the flow of the statement here in this verse, verse 55 of Al-Baqarah, is in support of the second opinion. Meaning after Musa met with his Lord, went to the meeting with his Lord. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَالْفُرْقَانَ. Remember when we sent down to Musa the scripture, the Torah, and the criterion, meaning the Torah itself is a criterion between truth and falsehood. Then Allah mentioned them taking the calf for worship, and this verse came after Musa brought the Torah. Then after that, Allah mentioned, when you said, "O Musa, we will not believe until we see you." So the flow of the text is with the, or is supporting the second opinion, that this took place, this verse, they're saying, "We will not believe you until we see Allah plainly," took place after Musa returned with the Torah being sent down upon him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, however, we read the following verse in Surah Al-A'raf 7:155. In this verse that we are dealing with, Allah is mentioning the thunderbolt. Allah is mentioning their seizure by the thunderbolt. However, we read in Surah Al-A'raf, فَلَمَّا أَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةِ قَالَ رَبِّ لَوْ شِئْتَ أَهْلَكْتَهُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَإِيَّايِ. And Musa chose out of his people 70 of the best of men for our appointed time and place of meeting, and when they were seized with a violent earthquake. Okay, so this is another thing, violent earthquake. In this statement here, Allah is mentioning seizing them with the thunderbolt. He said, "Oh my Lord, أَتُهْلِكُنَا بِمَا فَعَلَ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَّا. If it had been your will, you could have destroyed them and me before. Would you destroy us for the deeds of the foolish ones amongst us?" To the end of the verse. So some people took from this verse as evidence to support the first opinion, meaning that the verse 55 which we are talking about, and their statement that "We will not believe in you until we see Allah plainly," took place when Musa went with the 70 men to the meeting, to the appointed meeting with Allah. However, this is not a support for their claim in reality. Why? Because Allah here in Surah Al-A'raf in 7:155 is mentioning the earthquake, and in the other he is mentioning the seizure by the thunderbolt, and there they were seized and they died. So this tells that such an opinion does not give preponderance to the first conclusion, that their statement, "We will not believe until we see Allah," that it took place when he took the 70 people to the appointed term. Why? Because this verse, the punishment was with the seizure thunderbolt, and this with the earthquake. So Allah says, back to the verse now, to 55, a thunderbolt, seizure with the thunderbolt, فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةَ, meaning death. الَّذِي صُعِقُوا بِهِ, the death as a consequence of this thunderbolt. While you were looking, you were seized with a thunderbolt, meaning they died as a consequence while they were looking, meaning looking at each other falling dead. And it is said that this took place upon those who said this word, "We shall never believe in you until we see Allah plainly," or those who accepted that statement in the same place. Then after that, Allah said in 56 now, the same continuing Al-Baqarah, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ. Then we raised you up after your death. Here it means we brought you to life. How did we conclude this? Because raised you up after your death. The term after your death, the statement after your death, is evidence that the raising up, meaning giving life to them. And their death was real. It wasn't sleep, because sleep is referred to in the Quran as wafa. Here it is mentioned maut, certain death. And death is not referred to as wafa here. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am in 660, وهو الذي يتوفاكم يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار. It's He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who takes your soul, takes away your soul, and knows what you do during the day. This wafa is in reference to the sleep. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar 39:42, Allah yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. Allah takes away the souls at the time of their death, wallati lam tamut, and as to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not decree death on it, during its sleep. During sleep. بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ. We raised you after your death. This is a great favor. Allah took them, seized them by this punishment, then raised them, gave them life as a deterrence, and that so that it can be an expiation for them. That's why He said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you might be grateful. تَشْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. You be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse 256, which we are seeing now, is one of five verses in the same surah, surah number 2, Al-Baqarah, in which there is giving life after death. The second was in the story of the person of the cow, and the third for those who left their homes fearing death. They were fearing death. Then Allah said to them, Mutu thumma ahyahum. Allah ordered them, die, and then He raised them up, as in 2:243. And the fourth is in the story of the man who passed by a town and it was vacant, and this would be in 2:59. This person who passed on this town while خاويةٌ على عروشها, yes, which had tumbled over its roofs. He said, أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعَثَ. He said, how will Allah ever bring it to life after its death, this town? So Allah caused him to die for 100 years, then raised him up again. And the fifth one is in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Again, after that, رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. And remember when Ibrahim said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Allah said, do you not believe? Ibrahim said, yes, I believe, but to be stronger in faith. Then Allah said, take four birds, then cause them to incline towards you, then slaughter them, cut them into pieces, and then put a portion of them on every hill, and call them. They will come to you in haste, and know that Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. All what you have heard is not in opposition to the following verse in 23:15-16, where we read the saying of Allah, ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة تبعثون. Meaning the raising, someone will understand from 23:15-16 that the raising would be after the general resurrection. Allah says here, ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون, after that surely you will die, then again surely you will be resurrected on the day of resurrection. If you want to compare it with respect to these five stories in which there was raising of the death of the dead, then understand it properly, because these five stories and others, like bringing life to the dead at the time of Isa, of Jesus, peace be upon him, is something transient, temporal, brought forth to show the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the general resurrection, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, it won't take place until the day of resurrection. And that's why, in response to the misconception of those who denied the resurrection from the mushriks, who said in 21:38, مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, or they say in 44:36, فَأْتُ بِآبَائِنَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, when they say, when this promise come to pass if you are truthful. You know, they're trying to deny the resurrection. And like, and they're saying, then bring back our forefathers if you speak the truth, because they were casting doubt on the resurrection. These people are people of deception, because the messengers, لم تقل لهم إنكم تبعثون الآن, the messengers didn't tell them you are going to be resurrected now, بل يوم القيامة, rather on the day of resurrection you will be, and then wait, for definitely that is going to take place, no doubt whatsoever. Benefits of this verse, number one, these two verses, the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding the children of Israel by his favors, where he raised them, brought them to life after death. Secondly, again, and this you notice this in most of the verses that were discussed so far, سفاهة بني إسرائيل, the foolishness of the children of Israel. فهم يؤمنون بموسى, they believe in Musa, in Moses, yet despite of that they say, لن نؤمن لك حتى نرى الله جهرا, we won't believe in you until we see Allah plainly. You see how contradictory they are. And thirdly, inshallah, the one who asks that which is impossible, then he is really deserving punishment. Because Allah said, فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةِ, and thus you were seized by the thunderbolt. Especially under the circumstances where they said this out of what? Of casting doubt. And there is a difference between their saying, we will not believe in you until we see Allah plainly, and between the saying of Musa in 7:143 in Surah Al-A'raf, رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرُ إِلَيْكَ, oh my Lord, let me look at you, let me see you. There's a difference between the two. How is this? Oh my Lord, show me yourself that I may look upon you. And they're saying, nor belief until they see you, Allah, clearly. Musa said that out of longing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shawqan ila Allah azza wa jal. وليتلذذ بالرؤية إليه, so that he may enjoy seeing Allah. And as for those, they said it out of doubt, meaning we will not believe except if we see Allah plainly. And therefore there is a difference between the two requests. Is this clear, inshallah? Is this clear? And from the benefits of these verses, that the pain of punishment and its impact is more intense if the person witnesses this with his own eyes. Because Allah said, when the thunderbolt seized you, وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, while you were looking at each other, falling into punishment. Certainly this is more intense. Fifth point of benefit: Making clear the perfect ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby He brought them to life after their death. And the sixth point of benefit: the obligation to be grateful to Allah for the favors He bestows upon us. Because Allah said there, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may be grateful. وَالشُّكْر, being grateful, is to be obedient to Allah, attesting that in the heart and on the tongue and on the limbs by action. As to the heart, he admits in his heart that the favors are from Allah. And he shouldn't say, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي, I have been given such and such favor because of some knowledge I have. Similarly, when he confesses to Allah's favor on the tongue, his confession should not be out of arrogance. And also when he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his limbs, and through these pillars, the heart, the tongue and the limbs, gratitude to Allah is established. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And from the benefits of these verses is confirming the hikmah to Allah, confirming the wisdom to Allah. Because how this is deducted? Because Allah said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, and this لَعَلَّ, so that you may, this indicates wisdom. There's a wisdom behind that. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And that's why, as you notice, this issue of hikmah, of wisdom, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends so often, He ends the verses concerning the ahkam, the rulings, He ends them with mentioning wisdom and knowledge. Take for example Surah At-Tawbah 960: إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم. Let's read these rulings and أحكام. الصدقات, here it refers to the zakah, to the obligatory charity, are only for, this is the ways of dispensing the zakah, are only for the fuqara, the poor, and al-masakin, also the poor, and those employed to collect the funds, and for to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined towards Islam, and to free the captives, and for those in debt, and for Allah's cause, and for the wayfarer, a duty imposed by Allah. Look at this now. Look at this. Allah ends it with what now? And Allah is the all-knower, all-wise. So this is concerning the distribution of wealth, of zakah. Take the verse concerning laws of inheritance, again based upon Allah's knowledge and wisdom. Four, 11. آباؤكم وأبناؤكم لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا فريضة من الله إن الله, listen to this, كان عليما حكيما. Again, in referring to some rulings concerning the inheritance, whatever Allah ordained for the fathers, for the children, etc., you know not which of them, whether your parents or your children, are nearest to you in benefit. You don't know that concerning these fixed shares which Allah give them from the inheritance as ordained by Allah. Look how he ends the statement then. And Allah is our all-knower, all-wise. So if you don't know, submit. Don't argue. And if the wisdom is known, then praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for more. This brings the end of these two verses and the benefits concerning them. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll move to verse 57. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.